They say there's no good news. No good
there's
news.
No good news.
What's up, everybody? It has been quite a while since I have had my sidekick, the anonymous canine, here to co-host with me. But today she is in the building. So how about we have a proper introduction?
I am your big bull. I am your big bull.
All right, so one of the major questions for freelancers, especially new freelancers or aspiring freelancers, is how do freelancers find work? One way we find work is just like everybody else finds work, through job ads. And that's what we're here to talk about today, because a lot of the job ads out here aren't what they seem to be, and some are just a flat out waste of time. And since your time is your money, we are here to get you on point, to help you recognize red flags in freelance job ads. Number one, top of the list. It is very common, especially in the freelance writing world, but also in other freelance markets, to find ads that give you lots of details. They tell you what the job is, what they need from you. They talk about the company and they tell you all about how great of exposure you'll get. They'll tell you about their audience and how many people will see your articles or pictures or whatever it is that you produce. And this is going to be a great opportunity for exposure, exposure, exposure. You'll see that word quite a bit when you're dealing with freelance job ads. But in all of that information, they don't tell you whether they pay or not. So you're left wondering, well, is this even a paying job? Don't even waste your time. And I know those two things don't seem to go together. Like, what do you mean it's a job ad, but is it a paying job? Somehow, in this twisted, distorted world that we live in, people connect creative work and the ability to have it for free. So you will find a lot of job ads that talk about exposure. And exposure is often a sign that the job isn't offering any financial compensation, like nothing. When a job ad is going all in talking about exposure, but then it doesn't talk about pay, don't even waste your time hoping that maybe it's a paying gig. The reality is that anyone who's writing an ad, no matter how dim-witted or green to freelancing they are, should know that anybody who's considering work is interested in pay. Now, there are a lot of legitimate ads that don't specify the specific rate of pay, but generally, in one way or another, they will address that money is involved. They'll say pay is based on experience or rates negotiable or budget to be discussed, something to that effect. Some may even say submit your rates. But when an ad is just talking about the exposure you're going to get, clearly they understand that you as a freelancer want to know what the benefit is for you. So if they're not discussing payment, if they're not discussing money, chances are there is none. So if you do see those type of job ads and it's something you still want to pursue or something that you're interested in, before you put your effort into really trying to get the job, at the very least, reach out and ask if it's a paying job. Because while there may be exceptions, for the most part, when a job is talking about exposure, that means
$0
in payment. Another thing that you'll commonly see in freelance job ads is a line that says something to the effect of, perfect for students, stay-at-home parents, and retirees. Now, for the most part, those are three very different stages of life. So what will make any particular job opening perfect for all three? What that actually means when you see a line like that is, this job is perfect for people who don't need much, which is great, because we ain't offering much. Hold on now, don't growl at the messenger. It's not that I'm saying that they don't need much. I'm saying that that's what it means when you see that in freelance job ads. Just calm down. So you see, The assumption here is that this role is for people who aren't really about business, who aren't really looking for viable income. They just want to get a little something to do a little something. We're not looking for real professionals because we don't want to pay real professionals. And it's actually pretty offensive if you think about it, because if you're a mom, that means you have at least one dependent, right? So why should someone recognize that you have at least one other mouth to feed, but then feel comfortable offering you some dirt rates for your work? It really doesn't make sense when you think about it. But I already told you the world is twisted and distorted. Because how do you look at a woman with children and calculate to yourself that she needs less than this person over here that's just rolling solo? How do you come up with that calculation? Or even students. When I think of college students, I think of people who are broke and accruing lots of debt that they will probably never pay off for most of their lifetime, if at all. What part of that suggests that they don't need very much money? And that's a major part of the problem now, is that people are trying to micromanage other people's lives and decide, oh, he needs this, but she only needs that. What the hell they need to focus on is the work that they need done and the cost of paying for it. Because work is work, and everybody should be paid the same amount for doing it. It shouldn't matter whether you're a college student or a single mother, or whether you've worked your years and retired and are coming back to work. You should be paid for the value of the job that you're doing. But instead, you have so many people out here looking for reasons to try to justify shortchanging somebody and paying somebody less and somebody more. So, job ads that target what they believe to be low bar applicants are definitely red flags. It tells you something about the company. It tells you something about the mentality of the people that you will be working with. Number three, sometimes you'll see ads that put a lot of emphasis on loads of future work. So the ad may say something like pay to be discussed or pay to be determined, but this job can lead to a long-term opportunity with loads of ongoing work for the right candidate. Anytime a prospective client's main focus is what's going to happen down the line, think of it like a request for a date. Someone's asking you to go out, but they don't want to talk about your first date. They want to focus on what it'll be like if you're good enough to marry. Does it make sense to talk about what the conditions are going to be in the future when we haven't talked about what the conditions are going to be right now? See, it's not that they mentioned that the opportunity could grow or there could be more work. It's the way that it will be written. Whereas it almost suggests like, yeah, there's going to be pay, but more important than the pay is the fact that you will have the opportunity to do a lot of work for us. And that's something that you'll find very commonly in the freelancing world. Is when you're talking about money, clients are talking about the opportunity to do more work. You're working with a company and they don't want to pay you more, or they acknowledge that their rates aren't so sharp, but instead they'll offer you so much work that if you need more money, the work is there. For those of you who have never been presented with this hustle, because that's what it is, a hustle, there is a post on nogoodwords.com that explains. When a client offers you more work, that is not the same thing as getting a better rate. So for anybody who's new to the game, you should really check that post out, because a shitty low-paying gig is going to be a shitty low-paying gig no matter how much work it provides. And a lot of times you can spot these characters who want to substitute quantity for decent payment in their job ads. Free writing samples. Okay, now I realize all freelancers are not freelance writers. However, the same can apply for some other type of freelancers. In freelance job ads, you'll commonly find a request for a free writing sample. And I'm not talking about samples of work you've done, but a lot of ads request that you write a piece specifically for them to showcase the type of work or the quality of work that you could do for them if you were hired. Requests for free samples are a bloody, bloody, bloody red flag. I mean, really sit back and think about the audacity. You're a business and another business is going to request that you give them something for free that's designed just for them. Where else could you pull that off? Who else is doing that? You can't have a worker come into your establishment and say, before I hire you, I'm going to need you to work 2 or 3 hours for free to show me what you can do. You can't walk into a shop and say, I'm going to need something for free that's tailored just for me so that I can check out the quality. When you think of the audacity, when you think of what is actually going on, a free tailor-made product just to be considered.
What the hell?
It's absurd. But people out here in the marketplace, they do it because they can. And they can because freelancers allow it. Freelancers give away too much free stuff. That's just point blank, period. And we need to cut it out.
Listen.
As freelancers, you need to understand that you are offering a service. This is very important. And depending on how deep you are in the no good words universe, you may get tired of hearing it. But it's really, really, really important. The reason that so many freelancers are so quick to do things for cheap and for free is because for real, they don't believe in the value of what they're doing. They don't view it as, I've established a business and I'm going to offer this service to other businesses. Instead, they feel like, well, it's just little old me trying to get a chance, hoping someone will recognize me and maybe toss me the crusts off the table.
Stop it, 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 stop it.
Confidence, people. Confidence. If you don't have any, then damn it, pretend you do. It's part of the job. And if you can't swing that part of the job, you may just need to cough up the funds to pay somebody to market your business. Because timid isn't your friend. If requests for free samples are some type of due diligence to ensure that you have the skills or you have the capability, where is your due diligence to ensure that there's actually an opportunity out there? Think about it. I could put an ad on Craigslist right now. I could put an ad on Indeed right now as if I'm hiring a writer for nogoodwords.com. And I could ask for free samples about freelancing so that I can assess the skills and capabilities of people who are applying. I might not be hiring anybody, but at the end of the day, I just got 50, 75, 100 posts that I can now use over the next 3 months for my site. So now if you're one of those applicants, you've done a great deal for my business and you've done nothing for your own. I'm not gonna say there's never a time and a place for free samples, but when a company sets out to solicit free samples, there's an issue. That's definitely a red flag. For example, you'll see sometimes an ad that requests that you write a blog post. The first one is a sample. And if they like your work and decide to use it, then you'll be paid for future articles. Well, the question that you need to ask yourself is, if they like your work and they're going to use it, why wouldn't they then pay you for it? There is no justification. There is no reasoning for someone to say, I like your work, but I'm not going to pay you. Furthermore, as I've said multiple times, established freelancers have no reason to even consider free samples. Similar to free samples, you also want to be very careful about undercover attempts at info gathering. And what I mean by that is there are job ads out there that you will see, for example, for writers. The job ad may ask you 10 potential topics that you would write on if you were hired for the job. Or I've seen ads soliciting photographers that'll say something like, provide a list of 10 unique locations in New York City to shoot. Okay, so it's one thing when you're working with a client and you have sessions where you toss around ideas or bounce ideas off your client. But it's another thing when you're applying, there is no relationship between you and the person who has wrote this ad and is making this request. And they want you to provide a bunch of information because you never know whether this is a sincere attempt to assess whether you're capable or whether this is just an info gathering mission. Just like with the free samples, it's very easy to put an ad out and have people flood you with ideas that you can't come up with yourself, that you then take and use without hiring anybody. And not only is that a potential waste of your time if you've invested time to research the list that you provide in response to these ads, but it's also a potential loss in that those are ideas that you could use either for yourself, for your existing clients, or for your future clients. And now someone else is potentially using them. So be very careful about providing extensive lists of information when there's no relationship between you and the person who's asking for it. Another red flag in job ads is when the requirements are either absurd for the job or the qualifications are absurd for the job. So what does that look like? For example, some job ads will say something as ridiculous as looking for a social media manager with 15 years of experience. Like, for real, what social media were you managing 15 years ago? MySpace? I mean, there's nothing from 15 years ago that is relevant to managing social media today. It's just an overblown requirement and it makes no sense. Another way that might appear is there are ads out there that'll literally be calling for regular contributors to blogs that pay $50, but they're looking for either a practicing attorney or someone with a law degree. Now, if there's a practicing attorney who is stooping so low as to make a regular commitment to write $50 blog posts, they probably don't need to be practicing law. Because that is just an absurd requirement. So when you see things like that, you're either dealing with an idiot, an asshole, or get over. Point blank. And no matter which way it shakes out, that's just not something you need in your life. You can expect for it to be dead end and or a headache. Now that I think of it, number 7 should have been probably closer to number 1 for those who do not make it all the way through this podcast, because it is a question that I have had so many people ask me and I see so often online. Is it normal to have to pay to get a freelance job? The answer is absolutely not. Nothing. You should never have to pay anyone to work for them. Now, there are services that train or certify you to do something, for example, maybe like medical transcription or something to that degree. And you may need to pay for those services, for that training, for that certification. But any service that's veiling a training or a certification as a job ad is intentionally being dishonest. And if a company is offering you some type of training for a fee, and then they plan to hire you, then that situation is still a no-no. You don't pay people for them to turn around and get you to do work, paying you back with your own money. No matter how small the fee seems in comparison to what you'll be earning, you do not pay people for them to hire you. That is a definite red flag. It's a definite no-no. That is not how the system works. Don't consider it. Don't think about it. Don't go for it. And if there are prospective clients out there or companies out there who tell you that there's some type of fee for onboarding, meaning you have to pay some type of fee for them to get you into their system or for them to do the administrative work to get you signed up to start working, that's an outright no-no. Don't go for it. That would be like a photographer or videographer being hired for an event, but they have to pay to get in the event. Never, ever, ever pay someone for you to have the opportunity or the alleged opportunity to work for them. Ever. Period. The new company babble. You'll find a lot of ads that go on in excess, like trying to pump excitement into people. oh, they're so excited to be getting their company off the ground and how you should be excited to be a part of what they're building and how you can get in from the ground floor up and how you can be part of a team and they're building a team. And as the team is built out, your opportunities will expand and blah, 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 blah. They go on and on hyping up how good of opportunities will come in the future as the company grows. Be very cautious of these people, because all of that hype and all of that talk amounts to nothing. Two things are important: what a company or a client needs to have done and how much you're going to get paid to do those things. So all of that additional, we're new and we're building and you can be part of a team and you can do all of that, that's not why you're there. That's not what you're looking for. You're not looking to be a part of anyone's thing. You're looking to provide a service for their thing and continue about your business doing your own thing. You don't need people softening the ground to screw you over or softening the ground to tell you that they don't actually have the funds to pay you or they don't have the funds to pay you a decent wage, but instead they're trying to compensate what they don't have with a bunch of hoopla about excitement and growth and what a wonderful thing that they have going on. An ad that I saw recently literally said, as we grow, pay will be more stable. Now, I'm not quite sure what they were thinking in writing that, but who do they think is going to get excited about the launch of some unknown, obscure little company that is basically telling you your money's not going to be right, their payments are not stable? Like, no, go get your shit together before you start hiring professionals. That's what you need to do. Professionals don't eat off of excitement and your thrill with yourself about launching a new venture. So when a company is going on about excitement over their newness, or even when they are using their newness to frame the fact that they either have little or no pay, be very aware of those instances. Those are a waste of your time. Now, the final point is not always a red flag, but it is something that you need to be aware of, because it can go both ways, but you need to be aware just so it's on your radar. When companies don't list who they are. Now, this is one that I kind of flip-flop with. As you may know, No Good Words has a job list with writing and editing jobs. You will find a lot of times job ads that'll say something like, a law firm needs a legal blogger, or our San Francisco media company is hiring a freelance editor, etc. And sometimes there are valid reasons why people are doing that. Some will even state in their ads that they have had issues with too many phone calls from previous ads. And me and the anonymous canine, we have had a lot of internal discussions, right? About whether or not to include those job ads where the company doesn't identify itself. Mostly at this point, those jobs aren't added. But from personal experience, I know that a lot of those jobs are valid and good opportunities. So every now and then, based on the ad, I may feel confident that it's not only a legit opportunity, but one that's really worth sharing. And maybe more will be added in the future. But here's the thing that I'll tell you about that. When a company doesn't identify itself, and this may actually be a good point overall, even for companies that do identify themselves, at this point, you don't need to share details like your address on your resume. We're far enough along in the game now where you can either direct people to a website, you know, you can direct them to a social media page like LinkedIn where they can find you, or something of that degree. You don't necessarily need to list your address, home phone number, and those type of details that were on traditional resumes. It's probably a good practice to eliminate those things regardless, but definitely in the cases where you're reaching out to companies that haven't identified themselves and you don't know who they are, I would definitely be very hesitant about sending out identifying details. You know, if you do want to include your phone number and your pitches, application packets on your resume, whatever, do something like sign up for a Google number, or, you know, have another line through some type of service that's for business, that's not your main line. That's what I would suggest. So, as I said, that's not a red flag where it's always a bad thing that a company hasn't identified itself, but it's definitely something that you want to be thinking about. Well, now that you are much better prepared to head off on the www and vet job ads, go get to it. But before you go, please don't forget to subscribe to the No Good Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to show me and my co-host, the Anonymous K9, some love, you will find the Cash App and PayPal details wherever you clicked into this podcast. As always, any and everything is greatly appreciated. Until next time, folks. Peace.